WMNF 88.5 Tampa. Nobody does it better. Nobody does it better. They can come closer than close, yeah. Original, they never will be.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Still no word from the Justice Department on the timing of a report to Congress on the special counsel's probe of Russian interference in U.S. elections. Attorney General William Barr has indicated he expects to release to lawmakers the highlights of Robert Mueller's findings, and that could occur as soon as today. The White House says it has not been briefed yet. President Trump is in West Palm Beach, Florida, and has only tweeted, "Have a great day and make America great again." Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu headlines in Washington at the annual three-day conference of the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, or AIPAC. NPR's Don Gagne has details.
AIPAC is the big pro-Israel lobbying organization in the U.S. Its annual conference always attracts members of Congress from both parties to speak, including the House and Senate leadership. Democrat Nancy Pelosi will appear, as will Republican Mitch McConnell this year. Something you will likely not see at the conference are 2020 Democratic presidential candidates. None are scheduled. Some have said specifically they won't attend. The liberal group MoveOn.org has called on the Democratic candidates to boycott the event. Don Gagne, NPR News, Washington.
There are British media reports of increased pressure on Prime Minister Theresa May to resign amid the uncertainty of Brexit. But as NPR's Frank Langfitt reports, number 10 Downing Street says May is staying the course.
Widespread dissatisfaction over May's leadership is no secret, but pressure for her to leave appeared to pick up this weekend, with British newspapers reporting a threat of sizable cabinet resignations. "I'm afraid it's all over for the PM. She's done her best," wrote George Freeman, a member of Parliament in May's Conservative Party, on Twitter. But Philip Hammond, the UK's Chancellor of the Exchequer, said change at the top would solve nothing, as the problem is building consensus on how to deliver Brexit. It's not clear May has enough support to bring back her plan for a third vote this week, which would mean the UK would have until April 12th to come up with a new plan or leave the EU with no deal. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, London.
Afghan officials are reporting multiple deaths among security forces after Taliban militant attacks in Helmand province. The BBC's Jill McGivering has details.
The Taliban already control most districts in Helmand. This attack was on the Afghan army base in Sangin, where the Taliban holds the district centre. It comes the day after a twin bomb attack in Helmand's capital. Meanwhile, in Kunduz, in the north, officials say they killed almost 60 Taliban fighters in an airstrike. A family of 14, including 9 children, also died. The Taliban, now engaged in a peace process with the United States, hasn't formally declared a spring offensive this year. But the recent surge in violence feels very like one.
The BBC's Jill McGivering. This is NPR News in Washington. Off the western coast of Norway, this is how it sounded late yesterday on the Viking Sky cruise ship. The cruise ship, paralyzed by engine trouble, hit high seas and extreme weather. Passengers and furnishings were thrown as the ship tossed in high winds. Close to 500 passengers were hoisted by helicopter to safety, one at a time, in a high-tension rescue operation in the darkness of night. The remaining around 900 passengers remain on board at this moment, and the ship is now being escorted to port. About 20 people were hurt. The death toll from Cyclone Idai continues to rise in southern Africa. NPR's Ida Peralta reports authorities in 3 countries now count at least 750 people dead.
The port city of Beira in Mozambique was the hardest hit by the cyclone. The winds destroyed structures, and the rain and storm surge left most of that city and its surroundings underwater. As the floodwaters have receded, Mozambique says it has rescued more than 100,000 people using helicopters and boats. But they fear that the death toll will continue to rise. Authorities say they are working to repair roads, and they report that power has been restored to water pumping facilities. disease. That is important because authorities fear that disease can spread quickly across a vulnerable population. Cases of cholera and malaria have already been reported. Ada Peralta, NPR News, Nairobi.
I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the estate of Joan Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio, and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.org.
Shadows cast by rainbows, there you'll meet the sage. Feeding rabbits bits of lettuce or cleaning out the cage. He can give you more direction than you've ever known. Show you your bronze baby shoes now, my how you have grown. Ain't it nice to fly your waving as soft clouds go by, but won't you go exploring? You got to find some truth. You can't spend one more day of Christians shouting down at you. You say you don't dig politics, that never was your bag. People who could run for office wave their private flag.
Good morning. You are listening to WMNF 88.5 with Kaya Wright in the 4th Estate on March 24th, 2019. And we have a great show lined up for you today. But as always, first we need to say hello to the 4th Estate. And we are flying solo right now with the 4th Estate with Lo. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday.
All right. So today, you know, as always, whenever it is that we're doing shows, especially when we're going through our events and then we get to our main segment, we often run out of time, right? So because there's just so much great information to go over with regards to current events generally, and then when it gets to our main segment, sometimes we're short. So we only got through a little bit of affirmative action for me and not for thee, part one, on last week. So we are going to finish that up. You know, sometimes it's taken me a month or so to get back to a second part of the show. But this time, I'm going to go ahead and wrap that up so we can be done with part one. Because part two, we're going to be bringing on a subject matter expert in a couple of weeks in order to address that. So right now, our topic for today is going to be the completion of affirmative action for me and not for thee, where we will discuss various pieces of legislation that was focused on affirmative action for whites, okay, to the exclusion of blacks. And that was in light of last week's revelations about the college cheating scandal. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be our main topic for today. But before we get to that, we want to hear from you as we go through our various current events and get to our main event. Want to hear from you at 813-239-9663, 813-239-9663. Want to hear from some first-time callers. You know, if you haven't called up to a radio station, we got some great topics on tap for you today. So, you know, we want to hear from you, all our listeners. You know, you all are who support us, right? So, and speaking of supporters, On yesterday, with a couple of announcements. First, the teen summit that we had some young people on last week talking about, I wanted to announce that Tampa Bay Teen Social Networking Summit. It's going to be 9:30 to 4 p.m. on March the 30th. That's this coming Saturday at 1300 East 8th Avenue in Tampa, Florida. That's the Scientology headquarters, for those of you who don't know where that is. And or those of you who know where that is, that's where this is happening. It's being put on by the Gentleman's Course, I think, the Church of Scientology, and a couple of other Youth for Human Rights, I think, is another group. So anyway, that's what's happening on with regards to that announcement on the 30th. But what I want to talk to you about with regards to supporters is the Caribbean Cruise concert that took place yesterday. So that was great, put on by our great KZ and Angela B, right, from the Caribbean Cruise. Comes on the station at 4 p.m. So, you know, continue to listen. You know, we got, you know, Latin jazz and salsa, and then we got the Caribbean Cruise after that at 4 o'clock, I think, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., I think.
Yeah, that's a live one.
Yeah. But it was a great event. So I just wanted to shout them out for a great job that they did. And I met a couple of you. There was a brother, Dexter, is what his name used to be. I'm sorry if I forgot your other name, but I wanted to say thank you guys very much. And a couple of other folks came up to me, and there was Steve, I believe, who also came up to me. So, you know, we really appreciate you guys listening to the show, and I really appreciate you guys loving Sunday Forum and loving what we bring to the airwaves. You know, you hear very focused, detailed, unapologetic information when it comes to our community and what's important to us. So we really appreciate that. So 813-239-9663, and let's grow that listener base. You know, please call in and let us know what you think about the things that we're talking about. So Caribbean Cruise, once again, shout out to you guys. Great job on yesterday. And current events, wow. I mean, there's so many awesome things that really happen during the course of the week that really illuminate where we are as a people, where we are as a country. And, you know, some of them, you know, not so good, some of them good. But the topics that I'm going to go over, just so you have an idea of what's coming, I'm going to talk the Mueller report. Okay, that was obviously big news that came out on Friday, released on Friday. We're going to talk a bit about you remember the referee who had the wrestler cut his dreads? Well, we're going to talk about him because he's filed a lawsuit. Yes, he has. We're going to talk about the Florida House and Senate introducing bills or considering bills that will really thwart the efforts of Referendum 4, if you remember, which gave back to ex-felons the right to vote. So we're going to talk about that. Because it's place in history when it comes to trying to thwart our vote. We're going to talk about Antoine Rose and the fact that Michael Rosfeld was acquitted of his murder, and we're going to talk some comments I alluded to last week. Kate Morgan and AOC making comments about reparations that were ridiculous, and then Li Fang joined the gang on Thursday. Li Fang is an investigative a journalist for The Intercept, and, you know, made some ridiculous comments on reparations. So we're going to talk that, and I'm going to have actually a show on that, on reparation, because I think it's an important topic. So, but we're going to tease based upon what happened this week and last week with some comments from folks about reparations who really should keep their comments to themselves, really. And the Dems not going to AIPAC. That's going to be interesting. And then a quick update on Venezuela. So a very full current events we have for you before we get to some great information with regards to legislation designed to provide overt benefits to whites, sometimes subtly, right? It's not like in the legislation itself always. I'm going to go through from various centuries, but where it was neutral on its face, but in actuality, it clearly excluded blacks. So lots of great information have there to go over with you. So that is what we have on tap for today. So to start off, like I said, the Mueller report. So again, on Friday, that was released to the Department of Justice Facebook Live. I see we got you guys set up. Hold up a second. Just want to shout you guys out. Be sure and share the page, like the page. You know, let everybody know what we're doing here. And it's always great to see you guys. We have some great comments on Facebook. And if we're having any technical difficulties, they'll let us know.
Yeah.
You know, won't they, Lo? They'll be like, hey, you know, what's going on with the sound, whatever. So yeah, they're really instrumental in what we're doing, and lots of great folks on there. So great to see you guys, and looking forward to seeing your comments. We on the breaks try to read some of them, you know, some of the ones that we think are really illuminating. Sometimes we read things that, you know, people don't like what we're doing. So, and same thing with our emails. You know, we'll check those out. DJ@WMNF.org is where you can send emails. So, all right. So, Mueller. Okay. So, you heard just throughout these last 22 months, right, all this talk about this particular report. And Dems talking about how, you know, oh, we just got to wait for the Mueller report to come. You know, as if this was going to be some kind of, you know, panacea. It's very dangerous to kind of put your eggs in one basket like that. And you didn't hear a lot of talk about getting to the bottom of, you know, what's happening with fairness and you know, everything that's going on throughout the campaign, because there was some shadiness on from the Clinton campaign, etc. But there was this very objective oriented, conclusory oriented focus to the report. And, you know, 45 is making his ridiculous comments, trying to discredit the thing before it came out, right? Kind of afraid of what would be in there. And you had Republicans also maligning the report kind of from the other side before it even came out. And so what's been interesting is that the big news from the report is that there will be no further indictments. Okay, so for all the people who were thinking that it was going to be, you know, Trump was going to be led out the White House in handcuffs, he was going to do a perp walk or something, you know, that's not going to happen, at least not for this. So, and if you think about it, all of the arrests and crimes that have been committed or that have the prosecutions that have come out of the investigation have been for things completely unrelated to Trump and the campaign. It's been, you know, taxi medallions and bank applications and of course, you know, Flynn, you know, process crimes, etc. So, you know, $5 million, which is really a drop in the bucket. But still, you know, I'll take $25 million. I mean, I don't know about you. I mean, I'll take it, no problem.
Yes.
But
let me hold some.
Yeah, you know. So, yeah, I always think like when they have those Powerballs or those big, you know, huge. You know, the best time really to get a ticket, which I think I've gotten like two in my whole life, but is when it's not that big. You know, when it's only like 50 million, 100, because, you know, no one's reporting on it, right? And no one's going to care when you win, right? And I'm not sure if Florida is a state where you can stay anonymous, because some states you can't stay. The woman who just got the $1.5 billion, she was in a state where she could remain anonymous.
Yeah.
So
put it in trust.
She got her stuff together and whatever. But it's like, wait, I'll take that money. But, you know, here we are with no indictment. But what's interesting though is the reaction. I mean, Rachel Maddow looked like she was gonna cry. You know, there was a video that was going around with them like zooming in and her voice breaking. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, the facts fall where they may. The facts fall where they may. So, I mean, obviously, I think the report has been leaked, too, actually. I saw on Twitter that it had been leaked. I didn't open it. I'm just from my days in the military. A lot of times, WikiLeaks and stuff would leak things that are classified, and we were forbidden from accessing those items on unsecure networks. So even though they were leaked and they were available, you know, we could not access them. We weren't supposed to. I mean, I'm sure people did. But so that's still kind of in my mind about accessing something that's leaked, that's not supposed to be there. But so, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see how that all pans out. But it's been very disappointing to see a lot of the kind of condoning of, you know, very authoritarian tactics. You know, Roger Stone's busting in the door, weapons. I mean, this is not a guy who's accused of killing a bunch of people. You know, this is a guy who's, you know, who's accused of some paper crimes. So things that are very unusual that were being cheered on, because a lot of the left has determined that, you know, certain rules or whatever are not really important because there's a greater good, which is ridiculous and it's short-sighted, because then when you need the rules to work for you, then what are you going to say? I mean, you just don't have any credibility when it was okay to flaunt the rules because it's against somebody who you don't like. And there's a lot of partisanship from the Republican and then the Democrats doing that, you know? And it's just ridiculous. It's easy to see, and it just makes people, again, lose credibility. So if wrong is wrong. So we'll see, you know, kind of how it goes. As early as today, at least before when I was coming in this morning, they were saying that the brief, might happen to Congress, or they might, provide the items to Congress. So we'll see. So Mueller report's done. Turned over to the Department of Justice, and and then we'll see from there. So now this clip, this referee, Alan Maloney. Now, Alan Maloney was rightfully dragged, okay, for making this young man cut his dreads before the wrestling match, if you remember.
I remember that situation, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, it was just really heartbreaking. And the focus of a lot of folks was on a couple of things. One, how he was being heralded kind of like as a hero for having, he being the wrestler, for having won and whatever, and people were heralding that. But
right.
But and really, that shouldn't have been the case, because he shouldn't have had to cut his hair in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It should never have happened. And he'd been wrestling fine before, no worries. And the fact that he won is just secondary to the fact that this Alan Maloney, who had made racist comments before, called one of his colleagues the N-word, so he already had a history,
mm-hmm.
and ended up doing this. So now this clown has decided that, well, he is suffering emotional distress, okay, as a result of all of the articles, draggings, social media outrage over his... there's so many times I wish that I could cuss, but over his, let me just say, nonsense. Hey, what's going on? Over his nonsense. So let's listen to this clip talking about the situation, for those of you who may not remember, and then his lawsuit. I mean, come on. All right, so $100,000 for so-called emotional distress, okay, surrounding news organizations, social media, etc., telling him that it was completely ridiculous and racist what he did. And if you also remember, like it said in the clip, he was precluded from refereeing various matches, as he should have been. Already suspended, okay, for what he'd done before, and then doing that, okay, of course they don't want, and then in the school that Johnson had gone to, they did not want any of their matches refereed by Alan Maloney, you know? And I mean, it just totally makes sense. I mean, what else would you expect to happen after you've conducted yourself in such a manner? So, but the larger issue with regards to him deciding that he's going to sue reflects this, again, this use of the system. If you think back to the Covington boys, it's the same kind of thing. Right, so I'm going to bring a suit. I don't like what's happened, and even though I've engaged in racist behavior, not once but multiple times, overtly racist behavior, and my solution then, as some white guy, is going to make the people who sought to punish me for my behavior, or make them suffer. Then that way, hopefully, I'm sure he's hoping that will then deter, you know, future or other actions by those who want to call out racism, who want to say, hey, this is not something that we agree with, this is not something we support, and this is not something that we think should in any way be condoned in our society. So the nerve of this man, the nerve of him to bring a lawsuit because of what happened is, I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I hope that it is dismissed in summary judgment. Okay, that's usually the first, you know, salvo from the defense, from the defendant, whenever a suit is brought, you know, that this particular case it does not have a genuine issue of material fact, and so should be thrown out of court. So, you know, so we'll see. You know, intentional infliction, I will say this though about intentional infliction of emotional distress. I often think that it is a route that should be pursued when we have a lot of whites, when they call the police on blacks randomly for like doing nothing. Then I've told folks, I mean, this is not, you know, legal advice, but I've told folks that I think it is a tort, an injury that could be pursued. They should go to, you know, a lawyer in their state, mm-hmm. and ask him or her about intentional infliction of emotional distress, because we remember in the myriad of examples that we've seen of individuals getting arrested for trying to get in their house, or like you had the guy picking up the trash, or, you know, trying to get into their apartments, or whatever the case may be. We have a lot of instances of that. So I understand that. But what were your thoughts, Lo, on the whole issue of him bringing a lawsuit in this case?
Well, as they say in America, you can bring a lawsuit about anything. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think, you know, he is following suit, as we mentioned in pre-show, as far as the Covington boys, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think if anybody has any grounds for emotional distress, it's that young man. Mm-hmm. But very possibly he may have already chosen to move on with his life without taking litigation, you know, as a pursuit. But I think he has grounds to have that pursuit.
Yeah.
Not this person that actually has committed violations and, you know, on record, you know, violating and speaking the way, you know, in racist ways and so forth. So it's comical to a point, but it's definitely sad because it's something that is considered, you know, not just a distraction, but definitely, you know, in a sense, I feel like it's an abuse of the judicial system.
Mm-hmm.
So that I look at what he's doing as an abuse of the judicial system.
Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot of issues that have been addressed over the years with, you know, kind of frivolous lawsuits. I mean, you mm-hmm. see, again, people, like you said, bringing lawsuits for things that make you scratch your head, you know. But sometimes, you remember the McDonald's hot coffee thing from way back? And people were like, oh, my God. But she actually, when you got into the facts, she actually had a pretty good case. So sometimes you do have to get into the details, but something like this, emotional distress and $100,000 because you can't work. Why should you work as a ref?
Right.
Given how it is that you go find something else to do. Go, you know, join the Klan or something. You know, maybe they have an opening where you can run something. Okay? But you know, kids don't need to be subjected to such trauma, mm-hmm. you know, because you know, you don't like that. And a lot of brothers with dreads will tell you that they face a lot of discrimination about their hair. You know, we talk about black women a lot with natural hair, but when it comes to particular hairstyles, mm-hmm. especially with locks, a lot of brothers have to deal with that. You remember when Mike Vick cut his hair off mm-hmm. when he was going through his lawsuit and all that, because, you know, well, that's going to present a better...
Right.
For whom?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. you know, this is, again, just having to pander to whites. I mean, why should he have had to have done that? I've seen very nice-looking locks, you know, very professional,
oh, me as well.
Very,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking mm-hmm. great. Right. So,
and actually, Kaya, to your point about bringing up, you know, an athlete, and correct me where I'm wrong with this, but wasn't it a rule put place that, you know, if you're going to have long hair, that's now going to be used as your uniform? You know, they
in the NFL.
Right. So to that respect, why does that apply on high school levels and leagues prior to those are guys they are aspiring to likely go pro,
mm-hmm.
you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and become a professional at what they do, to whatever degree. So, you know, why is that, you know, not the same there or what have you? I just think that, you know, again, that was a unjust ruling that he made, and, you know, he got backlash for it.
Yeah, as he should have. And I will, you know, I love my alma mater, as you all know, okay? I love Hampton University, Hampton Pirates, Hampton, Virginia, okay? A proud, proud, proud Hamptonian. However, they had a rule, and I think they still have it, where if you're in the, I think they have like a 5-year MBA program, then if you're a male, then you can't wear your hair in any kind of locks or braids or anything like that. Even when you're a freshman, like you're not anywhere near going out, you know, to get your job. And, you know, they were, you know, rightfully dragged for that. And I thought it was ridiculous. And one time they called me for some money. I'm like, well, why don't you do something with that policy? You know, I don't like that.
Right.
You know, of all places, this is a mm-hmm. historically black college. You know, so and they're like, well, we have 100% placement rate or whatever. Okay, so you're just pandering to people who want to demean our culture. Okay, so that was just absolutely ridiculous. Give us a call at 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. You are listening to WMNF 88.5 with Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate. We are the Sunday Forum. And our topic today is actually going to be I'm going to actually call it part 1A of affirmative action for me and not for thee. And right now we're going over current events. We spoke about the Mueller report and referee Alan Maloney filing a ridiculous lawsuit in the case where the young man, Andrew Johnson, the wrestler, was forced to cut his dreads because Alan Maloney's upset that, you know, we're upset about that. And so on to the next story mm-hmm. that will really hit home for a lot of Floridians, right? So the Florida House has Judiciary Committee has a bill that's pending. It actually just got out of there. So both the House, and then there's an equivalent one in the Senate that will require ex-felons. Now, you know, referendum 4, okay, allowed them to vote, right? But requires them to pay all court costs and fees before being allowed to vote. Now, you know, that's not in the referendum, okay? It's not in the referendum. And you know, a lot of people were speculating that they were going to try to find some way to preclude this from happening, okay? And because there have been other referenda for which that's been the case, mm-hmm. right? So the people have decided that, you know, hey, this is something we're gonna vote on, and we're going to say that this is what we want as Floridians. And in response, the legislature then tries to thwart the will of the people. Now, you're supposed to be there to represent the people, mm-hmm. but you are not, in fact, doing what it is that the people told you to do. So, you know, I read some statement by one of the Republican members with some ridiculous nonsense about, well, you know, we're just trying to make sure we follow it to the letter, and court costs and is a part of the conviction, and, you know, and it's like, no, you're not. All you're trying to do is thwart the will of the people because you don't like what has happened.
Right.
You know, and it's really sad that people, again, anticipated that this would happen.
Yep.
And then now they get upset because some people are calling up, they're liking it to a poll tax.
Mm.
Okay, from back in the day where mm-hmm. when black people wanted to vote, you know, we had to pay.
Right.
And, you know, and of course, similar to when, you know, you call folks racist and they're more upset about being called racist than the racist act itself. OK, then, you know, they were apoplectic about being told, hey, you know, we are not. Hey, this is a poll tax and we are not happy about this. And like, well, no, you know, that just diminishes what a poll tax is. Well, what are you calling it when you're trying to tell me that I have to pay some fees that have nothing to do with the referendum before I vote?
Right.
You know, the people said they wanted me to be able to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And, you know, you could have lobbied to, you know, to make it such that it didn't get through, but that's not what happened. You know? And so here we are. I mean, but it is an excellent example of the adaptability,
mm-hmm.
okay, of racism.
Right.
How racism adapts so well. And I've spoken many times about Michelle Alexander and the new Jim Crow, mentioning that. Other folks have, W.B. Du Bois, et cetera. But it's so true when you see things like this.
It's, again, it's something that's just, it's unfair.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just really, you know, I'm not using a harsh enough term for it. But, you know, my thoughts on it as well is that, okay, so they're in the prison system. And whether it's private or whether it's government or what have you, they're making whatever wages they're making. Why not go ahead and have, if you're going to put this in place, go ahead and have them pay on that while they're in there and they're working for you.
Mm.
Go ahead and have them knock those court fines off and so forth while they're in there. Make that part of their rehabilitation. Get them a job, so then you help them get a job. And then go ahead and have that knocked off there instead of sending them out in the world. They're already facing burdens trying to find a job,
mm-hmm.
getting accepted and getting chosen for a job. And then you want to put this on them, another taxation, you know, in order for them to have their rights fully restored.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
And, you know, and that's a great point, because with regards to working in prison, because we know a lot of them are working for, they are working for ridiculous wages, a lot of, you know, almost back to the peonage days in a way, but for nothing. So, you know, put that towards that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially people been in there for quite a while.
Yes,
can get that down, you know, really low, and even maybe get some help from family, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But to condition their right to vote on that after the referendum. And we also know that Florida had some of the most stringent laws when it comes to felons being able to vote. What is necessary after you've mm-hmm. served your time in order to do so. So
yes.
It's really unfortunate that you would have this kind of, you know, ridiculous, underhanded, spiteful tactic that is being shepherded through the Florida legislature by the Republican members. You know, it's unconscionable, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's unconscionable what they're doing. Completely ridiculous, completely inappropriate. So, you know, it's like, you know, well, yeah. But I hope that there are people who are mobilizing to, I mean, since the Democrats don't control the House or the Senate, okay, then I don't see how you're going to stop this bill from getting through.
Mm.
You know, so it's going to end up in the courts is what's going to happen. And, you know, we're going to have to let the courts decide. But in the meantime, what does that do? That delays and hinders, you know, the rights that these individuals should have.
Right.
You know, in the meantime. So, you know, Florida doing Florida. Right? Florida, you know, all over social media, you know, there's always something about Florida.
Yeah, Florida man. Is this a Florida man issue?
Oh, you know, doing its unique thing. Again, you are listening to WMNF 88.5 with Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate on the Sunday Forum, where our topic today is affirmative action for me and not for thee. Affirmative action for me and not for thee, part 1A. Part 1A. Going to finish up where we left off last week.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and hopefully next week we can get Shane Springs in. And Shane Springs was supposed to be on here this week, but he had an exercise over there at CENTCOM. Anybody who knows about the military, you know, exercises are big deals, right? They're war simulations, right? So, you know, if you're at the division or whatever, you're out in the field. I mean, you're sleeping out there, you're eating out there, the whole nine. Okay, and up at CENTCOM, it's a little bit more of a so-called quote gentleman's course where they're not outside and everything, but they are doing an exercise. So we'll try to get him on next week, because I really want to talk about surveillance and that sort of thing. You know, really important.
I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Shane Springs, intelligence lawyer. So we are going to go to a quick break here, and as always, we are going to hit our break with some music, and we're going to make sure the music was properly edited this time.
Love that red button.
Yes, you know, I love that dump button. You know, I was rushing last week. I had it recorded, and I was like, oh, I forgot to silence it. But it's all good. We were able to dump it. But so this is a nice cut by Masego. It's called Prone, right? Another kind of underground artist that we don't hear from a lot. So enjoy, and we will be back here on WNF 88.5 with Kaya Wright and the Fourth Estate on the Sunday Forum.
Still collecting records and CDs? Well, it's almost here, folks, and it only happens once a year. WMNF's big record and CD sale. Throughout the year, the station receives records and CDs donated from our kind listeners, and then for 5 glorious hours, a huge sale goes down. WMNF's big record and CD sale. It all happens on Saturday, April 27th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the WMNF building located at 1210 East Martin Luther King Boulevard.
Dave Alvin and Jimmy Dale Gilmore are two great roots artists.
Well, I know I've been fooling myself too long.
Alvin is the singer, songwriter, and guitarist who is one of the founders of the Blasters. Gilmore is the hard-scrabble Texas songwriter, best known as a member of the hippie country pioneer band, the Flatlanders.
Soon I think I'm gonna go downtown.
Now the two longtime friends have decided to come together for a fascinating roots music excavation that merges Delta blues, Western swing, and early rock and roll.
Well, I'm a wild blues blaster looking to find what can be found.
Dave Alvin, Jimmy Dale Gilmore, and the Guilty Ones will play Skipper's Smokehouse on Thursday, April 11th.
All right, all right. And thank you guys for your comments about the we had some volume issues. So let us know if you hear something that's off, you know, please let us know. And we appreciate you guys looking out for us. All right, you are listening to WMNF 88.5 with Kai Wright in the Fourth Estate. And this is the Sunday Forum, and we are talking today about affirmative action for me and not for thee. Affirmative action for me and not for thee. We're going over our current events, and we want to hear from you at 813-239-9663, 813-239-9663. And another very kind of prominent event that happened was the Antoine Rose trial, right? So we had the Antoine Rose trial, and if you remember back in June is when the Antoine was shot. Okay, mm-hmm. I think he was 16 at the time, 16 or 17, very, very young. And, you know, it was so heartbreaking because he was running away. He was running away. And so I want to play a quick clip about that, and then we'll talk a bit about what happened because, unfortunately, it's quite sad. So let's listen to a clip here. Yeah, yeah, that shot up was, I'm sure, pun intended, mm-hmm. when it comes to that. So, I mean, just really unfortunate. 75% white jury that decided that this police officer did not, or was not guilty of the offenses for which he had been charged. I mean, think about how just difficult it is to get a police officer properly convicted for killing a bunch of unarmed black people. Okay, someone's running away from you. I know there was some, you know, weapons found in the car, but so what? You know, we've seen the Dylan Roofs and all these other mass shooters who we know killed a whole bunch of people get, you know, picked up. No problem. Alive, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Taking the Burger King.
Yep. No worries. But when it's us, it's, you know, shoot first and ask questions later. And a part of what's happening is, you know, this the stereotypical perception of black men as criminal, as violent, as more kind of physically imposing. If you remember Darren Wilson and Mike Brown, he was talking about Mike Brown as like some kind of demon. Mm. You remember that interview he did? He was like, it was like he's a demon. He's the same height as Mike. Mike is, you know, bigger, but they're like 6'4", like both of them. You know, but when it's somebody black, then there's this extra layer that goes over. And the problem with a legal system, with laws that are founded upon what your fear is, there has to be some kind of accounting. When it comes to criminal justice reform, this needs to be looked into. There needs to be some accounting for the fact that your fear is informed by your racism. Racism is informing your fear. So you might legitimately be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But there has got to be some way to account for this.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's happening is it's like a self-fulfilling kind of prophecy. So we have all these centuries of negative images of black men being violent and black men being criminal or whatever. Never mind that, you know, white men are, you know, violent and criminal as well, okay? And then you have this black kid, really, who's running, or you see, you know, black males doing this or selling loose cigarettes or selling or whatever, and you have this very over-aggressive approach to them where you abuse them, mm-hmm. and you beat them and you kill them, okay? And for what? Because your, quote, fear is based upon this imaginary boogeyman that you have in your head about black men in particular. You know? And then the result is this. The result is an acquittal for the killing of a young boy who was unarmed. And if you remember, and I'm going to read this poem again. Antoine Rose wrote this poem. Okay? He wrote this poem. I think he was 16 at the time he wrote this poem, since he was 17 when he was killed. And it really breaks your heart when you think about the fact that a 16-year-old believes he has to write something like this. But this is what he said. I am confused and afraid. I wonder what path I will take. I hear that there's only two ways out. I see mothers bury their sons. I want my mom to never feel that pain. Mm. Let me read that again. I see mothers bury their sons. I want my mom to never feel that pain. I am confused and afraid. I pretend all is fine. I feel like I'm suffocating. I touch nothing, so I believe all is fine. I worry that it isn't, though. I cry no more. I am confused and afraid. I understand people believe I'm just a statistic. I say to them, I'm different. I dream of life getting easier. I try my best to make my dream true. I hope that it does. I am confused and afraid.
Wow.
You know, I mean, think about that. Mm-hmm. He did not want to be a statistic, okay? He did not want to be, and that is exactly what he is.
Certain words he said, and I'm just thinking how intuitive and intelligent. He said that, I touch nothing so that I think I'm a, what were the words? Let me go back to it.
Yeah, he said, I touch nothing, so I believe all is fine.
I believe all is fine, but he says that I believe that it's not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How true that is.
I worry that it isn't, though.
Yes, I worry that it isn't, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, just, heartbreaking. And what justice do they have? None. Michael Rosfeld is walking around here free as a bird.
Mm-hmm.
Free as a bird up there in Pittsburgh. Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And an ending that we see all too often. That we see all too often, unfortunately, as a people. So, you know, Antoine Rose family, you know, definitely our hearts go out to them. But, I mean, but, you know, we have to figure out as a people, you know, what incentive is there not to kill us? I mean, just think about it. What incentive, what disincentive is there for police and all these folks? Well, I mean, what is it? You know, pretty much nothing. You get hired by other police, you know, departments. It's no big deal. There was a guy, I forgot. He was the one. You remember there was that photo going around on social media where he said he would drown his daughter if she brought home a black man. It was like a wow. picture of a baby being drowned or something. Yeah, and he was like, well, you know, if my daughter brings home a black man, then this is what's going to happen.
That's disgusting.
Disgusting, right? And they wanted him to resign. Wow. He said he was going to resign. They didn't. I don't know why they didn't take proactive action. Girl, he's the chief of police now. Chief of police. Chief of police. Okay? I mean, absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, I got it. So, you know, so I think that we really need to think about what are ways to disincentivize this kind of behavior. You know, there are lots of options. There are lots of things that are at our disposal in this system, within this system, legally, that we can do in order to address this. Because otherwise, they're just going to keep killing us. They're going to keep getting acquitted. We're going to keep having these majority white, you know, juries. I mean, you know, they're the majority in this country. And, you know, and we will continue to see no justice. It has to stop. It has to stop. And so... You know, I got it. The system is what it is as far as the legal system. But this is another event that is just unconscionable. The guy is running away and you arrest mass murderers all the time without incident. Including folks who have been running away, including white folks with weapons. Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And I said we got some callers who want to talk about that. But yeah, give us a call at 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. You are listening to the Sunday Forum, WMNF Tampa, WMNF 88.5 with Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate. And we are going to be discussing today affirmative action for thee and not for me. Or excuse me, for me and not for thee.
Mm-hmm.
Affirmative action for me and not for thee. You know, keeping it all to themselves. Keeping it all to themselves. So, you know, so that's another, you know, tragedy that has occurred. And another topic I want to go ahead and get to, at least introduce, because it's a big one. And that is reparations. Okay, that is reparations. But actually, before we actually cut to a whole nother thing, let me just go ahead and get this caller. Let me go ahead and get this caller who wanted to talk about the Antoine Rose case. So we have Shane in Plant City. Shane in Plant City, you are on the Sunday Forum with Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, ma'am?
Doing great. Great. Thank you. What's your question or comment?
My comment is we need to find a way to punish those ourselves. Instead of thinking that the system that never cared for us, the justice system has never did anything. Supreme Court, nothing, has ever did anything to help black people or their situation. We need to get like every other group and only worry about our blackness and our justice instead of trying to get interracial relationships or whatever. Worry about justice because until we fix our problem, we can't join on with other people because those people's problems won't be our problems.
Mm-hmm.
We need to worry about just our black problems. Like Spanish worry about just their Spanish. Mexicans worry about just their Mexicans. Jews worry about just their Jews. They don't even worry about the rest of the white people. So we need to worry about just our black. You know what I'm saying? And we need to find a way to punish those who do these type of things. I seen a lady on, somebody sent me a picture of a young lady get punched. A dude punched her, beat her up.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be able, if you show a police getting killed, they would take it off Facebook. They'll take it off YouTube. But yet they show our sisters, our guards, getting beat down. Mm-hmm. They show our young men, our brothers, our kids, our guards, getting beat down, killed in the street. And we shoot it on like it ain't nothing. If that's and one of them, when the young man shot the two police, they had police come from Georgia, from Virginia. Their gangs. Those are gangs.
Yeah.
Those are gangs. A military is a gang. These
it
gangs
is.
Come from other places to kill us, but we too stupid and too scared to kill them? I mean, I hate to say it, but maybe it's time to do unto others as others do unto us.
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, Shane, I definitely agree with you that we need to worry about our issues. Okay, I am 100% in agreement with that. And when we get to reparations, I'm going to get into that in great detail. Now, obviously, you know, we're not going to go on the airwaves and say we should, you know, randomly start killing people. Okay, but I do believe that there needs to be a disincentive to killing us. Okay, and I do believe that. Yeah, hold on. Let me finish.
Okay.
And there needs to be punishment for what these people have been doing to us. Now, these killings by these police officers, okay, they go to court, they get acquitted, and we don't hold anybody accountable.